Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Shlomo Ben Sara, Malka Bat Allegra, Dorit Bat Sara, and Shifra Bat Sara, and to elevating the souls of Daniel Nynkin, Lunita Adler, Helen Friedman, Allegra Bat Rachel, Pesach Zev Ben Chava, Harav Mir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Dennis Shor, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mittman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. We're going to discuss the Democrat Convention and the Democrat Party this week because it's just so outrageous that they're getting away with this, and they have the support of the vast majority of American Jews, even though they want to destroy the Jewish people. And it shows what a sick generation we live in. What a truly sick group of people we're dealing with when we deal with the American Jewish community. How self-destructive, how masochistic, how utterly insane most Jews in America really are. First of all, let's understand something. We saw at the Democrat convention over and over again the claim that Donald Trump and the Republicans are racists and represent hate. Now, we're not here to defend Donald Trump or the Republicans. They are the lesser of the two evils. And so we are urging people to vote for Donald Trump in November. But he is not a good president. He's a terrible president. He is not a friend of Israel or the Jewish people. And Jared Kushner, his evil son-in-law, is the worst nightmare for Israel, a terrible nightmare for Israel. And so we're not here to defend Donald Trump. His so-called Mideast peace plan was a plan for national suicide for Israel. And he has not been an effective president in virtually every area. He's been a joke and a buffoon. But having said that, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are clearly worse. And the entire Democrat Party are worse. And we're going to discuss some of the reasons for that. And how amazing it is that they've gotten away with this. The news media, the Jew-hating, sick, evil left-wing news media has covered up for them. And they have gotten away with saying that the Republican Party and Trump are haters and racists, when in fact, the worst racists in America, the worst Jew haters, the worst racists, the worst Nazis in America, are supported 100% by the Democrat Party. Let's start off with Louis Farrakhan. Louis Farrakhan heads a cult called the Nation of Islam. And Louis Farrakhan has the support of virtually every black leader in America. He has the support of well over 90% of blacks in this country. And he is an outright Nazi. By the way, don't take my word for it. Take his word for it. When Jewish leaders compared him to Hitler and said the statements he was making about the fact that the Jews deserve a Holocaust and the Jews should be exterminated, and the entire white race are all a race of devils, and that the entire white race is going to be exterminated, when Jewish leaders compared him to Hitler and said these are the type of statements Hitler makes, that Hitler would make, Farrakhan responded by saying the following: I like when the Jews call Farrakhan Hitler. Hitler was a great man. Hitler was a very great man. Unquote. So he has openly praised Hitler, calling him a very great man, and has openly praised the Nazis for what they did to the Jews during the Holocaust. And his statement about exterminating the entire white race and about how all whites are devils. What if you had the opposite situation? If you have a white leader saying this about blacks, can you imagine the reaction? Can you imagine? I mean, For the most ridiculous things, for the most absurd things, people who are not racists are blacklisted for life. Shamed in front of the whole country, blacklisted, threatened, their lives are threatened. They lose their jobs. They're thrown out of schools. For saying things like, just for saying all lives matter instead of black lives matter. And by the way, I don't say all lives matter. Evil lives don't matter. But anyway, for things like that, that's the end of their career. It's the hypocrisy, the evil hypocrisy and double standard, and the unbelievable cover-up and cooperation with black Nazism is absolutely unbelievable. It's just an incredible thing to watch. They had a million-man march in 1995 that Farrakhan called. A million blacks went to Washington. The NAACP, funded by Jews, by self-hating Jews, and other black establishment organizations funded by Jews, they organized for Farrakhan the million-man march, and the bus and the buses and the and all of that was paid for by the NAACP and by the black establishment. Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, the Black Congressional Caucus, all they spoke at the march. They spoke at a march organized by someone who says that Hitler was a great man and that Judaism is a gutter religion and that all Jews must be exterminated and all whites must be exterminated and the entire white race is a devil race. And Jesse Jackson, who got 93% of the black vote when he ran for president in 1988, Al Sharpton, who got 93% of the vote when he ran for mayor of New York City in 1997. They spoke at that rally with Farrakhan. They defend Farrakhan. They have what they call a sacred covenant with Farrakhan. And all the members of the Congressional Black Caucus were there. Again, black congressmen and black congresswomen that are funded mostly by Jews, by sick self-hating Jews, who don't give money to Jewish causes or to any decent cause. They give money to their enemies to destroy their own people. And Barack Hussein Osama, who polluted the office of the White House for 8 years, who was the so-called president of the United States for 8 years. Barack Hussein Osama attended the Million Man March in 1995. Yes. Did you ever hear that from the media? Can you imagine if a white candidate for president attended KKK rallies or Nazi rallies? But Obama is allowed to attend rallies by a black Hitler Farrakhan who calls for Holocausts? And it's never even mentioned, it's completely covered up and silenced by the whole media and by Fox News? I never heard it mentioned on Fox News. Here's a picture of Barack Hussein Osama, who was president of the United States for 2 terms, who was elected overwhelmingly in 2008 and was re-elected in 2012 with a black Hitler, posing proudly with a black Hitler. And surrounding him are other black leaders. This is just unbelievable. And they speak about racism and hatred. They speak about racism and hatred. They have the nerve, the chutzpah, to accuse other people of being racists. They're the biggest, worst racists on the face of the earth. It's like the Arabs, too. The Arabs do the same thing. The Arabs call everybody racist. The Arabs and the Muslims call everybody racist. There's the Islamic religion calls for the extermination of all non-Muslim infidels. For the conquest of the whole world, just read the Quran. Read the Quran. They call for the annihilation of all non-Muslim infidels and for conquering the entire world through jihad and for lying to the infidels and tricking the infidels and torturing them and murdering them in the most brutal, violent way. The Muslim terrorist organizations are not distorting Islam. They represent true Islam. Mohammed, the founder of Islam, was a mass murderer, a pedophile, a rapist, and called for the extermination of all non-Muslims, and did exterminate or forcibly convert all non-Muslims on the Arabian Peninsula and said that Muslims must do this all over the world. And so, those who are the most racist and the most vicious and the most evil people on the face of the earth, they point a moral finger saying, you're racist, you're filled with hatred. And look at the danger that Israel is in from what the Democrat Party represents. All Democrats support a so-called Palestinian state. Now, let me make it very clear. There has never been a Palestine in history. There's never been a Palestinian people in history. There's never been a Palestine state in history. Never in history has such a people existed. This is a complete myth. This is a complete hoax. The Arabs themselves always denied that there's a Palestinian people until the 1960s. They themselves said there's no such thing as Palestinians or Palestine. And they're allowed to get away with this huge hoax because the self-hating, sick, cowardly Jews of our generation allow all their enemies to walk all over them and to crap on them and never do anything. And let's understand something. Donald Trump is bad for Israel too. And his proposal, and by the way, the coronavirus really struck the United States hard, and it started to strike the United States hard just when Trump released his Middle East peace plan, which is a suicide plan for Israel. I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. God punishes those who go against Israel. Just when Trump and Jew boy Jared Kushner, that hideous animal with his wife who had a phony so-called conversion, some conversion, when they released their plan for Israeli suicide, that's just at that time, at about that time, and that's no coincidence, the coronavirus started striking the United States. Before then, everything was going wonderfully for Trump. The economy was booming, there was prosperity, he looked like he was on his way possibly to getting reelected. Then this struck. But despite the problems with Trump, and they're very serious problems and very serious dangers from Trump. Trump is a dangerous person. As long as we have Israeli cowards like Bibi Netanyahu as prime minister, there is always a danger from any American president. Any American president can pressure Israel to commit suicide, and you'll have an Israeli prime minister like Bibi Netanyahu who will go along with it. But anyway, Bibi is the worst nightmare for Israel. He's worse even than the left-wing prime ministers in Israel. Worse than the left-wing prime ministers. He can carry out policies that the left-wing prime ministers wouldn't get away with and wouldn't be able to carry out. He is more dangerous than the left, Bibi Netanyahu. The worst nightmare for Israel. But despite all the danger that Trump represents for Israel, and he represents serious danger, and he would sacrifice Israel without blinking an eye. In 1 second, he would sacrifice Israel. In 1 second. Remember Donald Trump. Remember when he refused to condemn the Ku Klux Klan and David Duke? Several days, he wouldn't condemn them. He said, I don't know David Duke. He didn't know David Duke. He years earlier had denounced David Duke when he was running against him for president. Always lying. He said he didn't know who David Duke was and refused to condemn him and refused to condemn the KKK. You remember that? And then when we had the Charlottesville, the Nazis in Charlottesville, outright Nazis marching in Charlottesville, and Donald Trump said there were very good people on both sides, communists versus Nazis. The fact is there were no good people on either side. Both sides were pure evil. And I can go on and on with Trump. His father, you know, was arrested in the 1920s at a KKK rally. I mean, his father from Germany. His father was a German who immigrated to the United States, was arrested at a Ku Klux Klan rally in the 1920s. So Donald Trump is no friend of the Jews, couldn't care less, and would sacrifice Israel in 2 seconds. But, in the Republican Party, we have evangelical Christians who are a very powerful force. So he is more restrained than the Democrats. He has to be. And the history of Democrat presidents versus Republican presidents shows the Democrats do pressure Israel more aggressively, generally speaking. Generally speaking. There are exceptions, but generally speaking, the Democrats pressure Israel much more. When I say there are exceptions, all Democrats are bad for Israel. All of them. every Democrat president since the 1967 Six-Day War, because that's what we're talking about. We're talking about getting Israel to go back to the pre-1967 borders that are only 6 to 9 miles wide, which would be suicide for Israel. Israel would be only 6 to 9 miles wide if there was a Palestinian state, and if Israel went back to those pre-67 borders, which is what a Palestinian state means. And so we're talking about since 1967. Since 1967, every Democrat president has brutally pressured Israel nonstop. Brutally. The first one was Jimmy Carter. Under Jimmy Carter, Israel surrendered the entire Sinai, and Jimmy Carter played a big role in that surrender. Of course, Menachem Begin, the other disastrous prime minister, gave away the Sinai to Egypt in exchange for a piece of paper that isn't for a so-called treaty that isn't worth the paper it's written on. But it was Jimmy Carter who pushed for the Sinai retreat and pushed for the Camp David agreements. Jimmy Carter got Israel to retreat from all of the Sinai and to give up all the Sinai oil, by the way, to give up. The Sinai was 3 times the size of the rest of Israel. Israel surrendered 75% of her territory in exchange for a worthless piece of paper with a country, Egypt, that has been sworn to destroy Israel. And that's just waiting for the chance when Israel will be weak enough so that they could destroy Israel. And Jimmy Carter pushed very hard for that Sinai retreat and played a big role in getting it pushed through. With the Camp David, they had Camp David talks, and he pressured, and he pushed aggressively and obsessively. And Jimmy Carter is such a fanatic anti-Semite, such a vicious, fanatic, miserable, vile Nazi. Yimach shmo v'zichro, may his name and memory be obliterated. Which is the traditional Jewish curse on evil people. The second president since the 1967 Six-Day War, the second Democrat president, was Bill Clinton. And with him we had the Oslo Agreements. Now the Oslo Agreements were Yitzhak Rabin, Shimon Peres, and all those traitors, what they did to get Israel into the Oslo disastrous agreements with the Arab Hitler Yasser Arafat. But Bill Clinton fanatically, obsessively pushed for those agreements, fanatically, obsessively pressured Israel to go back to the pre-1967 borders, to give up Jerusalem and everything. Everything. He spent the last 2 years of his presidency, half the time that he was in the Oval Office, half of his time in the last 2 years of his presidency were focused on getting Israel to agree and getting the PLO terrorists to agree to creating a so-called Palestinian state, which would have been the end of Israel, God forbid. The only thing that saved Israel is that the Arabs rejected it. The crazy Jews were willing to do it. The Arabs rejected it, thank God. The Arabs always want more and more and more and never accept any. That's not always true, by the way, that they always want more and more and more. We saw with Sadat, with Anwar Sadat, the dictator of Egypt, that eventually they agreed to the Sinai surrender, and they had an agreement, and Arafat agreed to the Oslo negotiations. So we can't rely on the Arabs to bail us out every time. It was a miracle. It's been every time the Arabs reject these plans and agreements, this is a miracle from God, that God is giving us enemies who are dumber than the Jews. That's a miracle. Because the Jews, as our great leader, Harav Meir Kahana, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Livracha, Hashem Yikom Damo, always said, the Jews are the most brilliant people by far on the face of the earth when it comes to science and medicine and inventions and creations and music and art and literature and philosophy and religion. I mean, just the most brilliant people on the face of the earth. But when it comes to their own survival, how ironic that the people so brilliant like the Jews in all of these fields, when it comes to their own survival, they're the stupidest people on the face of the earth. And so, when we have Arabs who wind up being even dumber than the Jews, when we get a situation where Arabs reject agreements where they could get everything on a silver platter and act even dumber than the Jews, this is a nes, this is a miracle. Nes is miracle in Hebrew. Bill Clinton desperately tried to get Israel to commit suicide. And then the third Democrat president since the 1967 war was Barack Hussein Osama, who did everything he could to get Israel to commit suicide. And we had the settlement freeze, which we've had in effect since 2009, because of Obama. Obama put relentless pressure on Israel to enact the settlement freeze, and Benjamin Netanyahu, who was the prime minister at the time, was more than happy to do it because he's against the Jewish settlements too, because he also wants a Palestinian state. Yes, Netanyahu wants a so-called Palestinian state because he, like all these insane Jews, is convinced, well, if we don't, what are we going to do? We can't go on like this. We have to, and we have to accept it, and we have to go back to borders that are 6 to 9 miles wide. What are we going to do? That's his true position. That's why he does everything to sabotage Jewish settlements. That's why his claim that he was going to have sovereignty over parts of the land of Israel all lies. That's why he pushed for the Trump Mideast plan. He supported it and pushed for it all along. But anyway, the three Democrat presidents, Jimmy Carter, Bill Clinton, Barack Hussein Osama, relentlessly, non-stop pressure on Israel, obsessive pressure on Israel. And in a situation like this, where we stand now, if we have another Democrat president in the White House doing that, like Joe Biden, who's another anti-Semite, we have him in the White House doing that, together with Kamala Harris, his vice president, whose husband is a self-hating, assimilated, intermarried Jew, so-called Jew. We have that in the White House. We're in a lot of trouble, a lot of danger. And so we have to understand what the Democrat Party represents for us. It represents a mortal existential threat to our survival. Another area, I've mentioned two areas so far. I mentioned Farrakhan and the vicious Nazi Jew hatred of the Democrat Party, and I've mentioned their anti-Israel position, which would lead to the destruction of Israel if, God forbid, they ever got an agreement for a Palestinian state. The third area is the Iran nuclear deal. Now, the only solution to Iran building nuclear bombs is to militarily destroy Iran's nuclear bomb-making program. We need to have either Israel or the United States do that. But we certainly don't want to help Iran build nuclear bombs. And the Democrats, Obama and John Kerry, the other animal who considered himself to be part Jewish, there's no such thing as part Jewish, just as there's no such thing as being partially pregnant. Either you have a Jewish mother, or you're converted to Judaism according to halakha. Those are the only two ways you could be Jewish. Jewish mother, or you convert to Judaism al pi halakha, in accordance with Jewish law. Those are the only two ways you could be Jewish. Otherwise, you're not Jewish. Doesn't matter if you have a Jewish father. That's not Jewish. Jewish father means you have a connection to the Jewish people, but you're not Jewish. And John Kerry's father, his real name was Cohen. They changed the name to Kerry because he was embarrassed to be a Jew and intermarried and did everything to hide it. And John Kerry did everything to hide it. And so, of course, when he became Secretary of State, he did everything to destroy Israel together with Barack Hussein Osama. But the fact is, they also pushed obsessively for this Iran nuclear deal, where they gave Iran $150 billion, rewarding them with $150 billion in trade and benefits. Just insanity, which of course would enable Iran to much more quickly build nuclear bombs and then build many of them, build a whole arsenal of nuclear bombs, a whole stockpile of nuclear bombs, which of course leads to the Arab countries building nuclear bombs, and the whole Middle East is going to go nuclear then, and what a nightmare. That's what the Democrats did when they were in power last time, and Joe Biden was part of that, and Joe Biden very much wants to go back to that, as does Kamala Harris. They very much want to go back to giving Iran all these benefits and reenacting that agreement. Donald Trump belatedly pulled out of that agreement. He didn't pull out on day one, which all the other Republican candidates for president in 2016 promised to do, and were going to do. He didn't do that. Yeah, because he's a wimp and a phony and an ignoramus, But eventually he pulled, at least he pulled out of that agreement. And he has imposed sanctions on Iran again. And that will come to an end very quickly if the Democrats win. And that means there will be a very serious increased nuclear threat from Iran and from Arab countries in the Middle East. An increased nuclear threat. By the way, there's a tremendous nuclear threat under Trump too, because Trump is too cowardly to have the United States Air Force go in and destroy Iran's nuclear bomb-making program, which could be done in several hours with no casualties from the air. In several hours, they could destroy Iran's nuclear bomb-making program and save the world from the prospect of an Islamic terrorist nuclear holocaust. But Trump won't do that, and neither will Netanyahu do it. The Israeli Air Force can do that as well. So there's a tremendous threat under Trump as well. But the threat is magnified and increased greatly under the Democrats. At least with Trump, at least with the Republicans, they would not do anything. They would not, it would be, Israel could go and destroy that program and Israel would get no flack from Washington if they did so. They would be able to do it. Israel can go in and do it right now. Netanyahu is too much of a coward to do it, but Israel can do it. At least Israel can act now and has been blowing up parts of the program here and there, setting off bombs in Iran, and parts of the program have been sabotaged by the Mossad, by the Israeli Mossad. But, and that sets it back a certain amount, that holds them back a certain amount and sets back their program. But none of that would happen if you had the Democrats in power. The Democrats would be saying, don't you dare touch Iran. In fact, Barack Hussein Osama and John Kerry were promising to protect Iran from Israel. They were siding with Iran against Israel over Israel. That's how bad the Democrats are. What would you expect from a party that backs Farrakhan? What would you expect from a party with a president like Barack Hussein Osama, who is a Muslim and has always been a Muslim, and who attends black Muslim rallies in Washington, went all the way from Chicago to Washington to attend the Million Man March? What would you expect from leaders like this? And who checked off Muslim when he was in school in Indonesia? He filled out the form, they asked him in the school, which religion are you? Because they had Muslims, Catholic, Buddhist. You know, they had various choices there. He checked off Muslim. Of course he's a Muslim. Both of his fathers, his biological father and his stepfather, both Muslims, both religious Muslims. Of course he's a Muslim. Anyway, and 79% of the Jews, 79% of the Jews in 2008 voted for Barack Hussein Obama, the Muslim Nazi Jew hater who wanted to destroy Israel and did everything he could to destroy Israel, and 79% of the Jews voted for that. Because they don't give a damn about Israel. These assimilated, self-hating, intermarried American Jews, they don't give a damn about Israel. They wouldn't care if there was a Holocaust against the Jews in Israel. Some of them want Israel to be destroyed. The Jews in the news media and Hollywood, they want Israel to be destroyed. They do everything they can to undermine Israel's battle to survive and struggle to survive. Now, in this terror, and that, by the way, that includes the Jews in the Democrat Party. The Jews in the Democrat Party are the worst anti-Semites in the party. They're the first ones to defend all the black Jew haters. And they're the first ones to initiate all the anti-Israel activity in the party. Jewish members of Congress and people who consider themselves to be Jewish. Again, Dianne Feinstein, that vicious old witch. I hope she croaks. God willing, she should croak already. That vicious old witch. She sponsored legislation to support Iran and sponsors legislation against Israel. Her father was Jewish, Feinstein. Her mother was not. She's really not Jewish because she has a non-Jewish mother. But her father was Jewish. So she's anxious. She hates her father, who's dead many years now, but she hated him. And so she to punish him, she wants to take it out on the Jews of Israel and destroy Israel. That filthy animal. This is the situation that we're in. This is the situation we're in. And nobody will tell you what we're telling you. Nobody. You're not going to hear what I'm saying. The big facts that I'm mentioning, with really the way that we're exposing this, you're not going to hear this on Fox News. You're not going to hear this or see this in the so-called right-wing media sites. No, they won't. They won't say what we're saying. Only JTF tells the truth about all of this. And that's another tragedy. Somebody has to tell the truth, and we're the only ones willing to. And we're the ones that tell the truth to the Jews of Israel. The Jews of Israel have to be warned. And so we have an advertising campaign where we reach thousands of Jews with our message. And it's every year hundreds of thousands of Jews see our ads. We have 6 Hebrew videos that reach the Hebrew-speaking 6 million Jews of Israel, the 6 million Jews in Israel. And thousands of them see it every week, and in the course of a year, it's hundreds of thousands see it. I don't know how much of an effect it actually has in the end, but at least the truth is being brought to the Jews of Israel. That is very important. No one is telling the truth as we are. No one is bringing out the real truth with all the facts and all the... Nobody. And so what we're doing is very important. That's where JTF's money goes. All of our money goes to advertising to bring the truth to the Jews of Israel, to the Hebrew campaign in Israel. That's where our budget goes. And of course, we also have this video in English that we do every week where we try to bring some truth to English-speaking people as well. But this is a video where we don't pay. We don't pay and we don't advertise it, because when it comes to advertising, all of our advertising, 100% of our advertising, is exclusively for the Hebrew videos, exclusively in Israel. And that's the way it should be, because that's much more important. That's the most important people. Those are the most important people to get the message. Because if the Jews of Israel would wake up and do what's right, the implications for the world would be overwhelming. God decides what will happen for the whole world based upon what happens with little Israel. So that's our situation right now. And I'm going to end off again, as we do every week, by saying that I know that this sounds very grim and very, very dark and difficult, because we live in a very dark and difficult generation. As the prophets predicted, Hanevi'im Mehatanach, the prophets of the Bible, told us all of this was going to happen when the Jews returned to Israel. And 10 of ye shall chase 1,000 of them, and 100 of ye shall put 10,000 of them to flight, and the desert shall blossom like a garden. And after 2,000 years where the land of Israel was desolate and nobody could do anything or cultivate it, all of a sudden the rain started to fall and the land became fertile again, and miracles happened. All these miracles that we've seen and the ingathering of the exiles from the four corners of the earth after 2,000 years, I mean, just breathtaking miracles that we see with our own eyes. If you don't believe in God and don't believe in the Torah and don't believe in the Bible after seeing this, you're not an atheist, you're blind. You're not an atheist, you're not an agnostic, you're just blind. And nobody brings this to the Jews of Israel. Even this, the Jews of Israel, they're part of the miracle and they don't even realize what's going on around them, because they're inundated with brainwashing day and night. But we bring the truth to them. We bring the truth to as many as we can, as many as we can afford to. We bring the truth to them as best we can. But the prophets also said that in the end, despite how gloomy and bad it's going to look in the final generation, despite that, the good guys are still going to win in the end. Justice will prevail. The Jews will wake up eventually. The Jews will wake up. The Jews of Israel will wake up. The assimilated, self-hating Jews who want to destroy their own people, they're doomed. They're not going to go anywhere. But the Jews of Israel will wake up, and those Jews in America who are wise enough to see the light, they'll wake up, and they'll be part of the final redemption. And righteous Gentiles, they will be Chasidei Umot HaOlam in Hebrew, which means the righteous among the nations. They will also be part of the final redemption. They're going to wake up and they're going to see. And then God will redeem the world when that happens. So I'm not going to go into the whole history of the war of Gog and Magog and all the other things that have yet to come. I'm not even going to go into that history. I'm just going to say, what you can read about in your Bible. I'm just going to, when I say the Bible, I mean the Jewish Bible, not the Christian Bible. Okay, Christianity is not a true, it's a false religion, Christianity. It's an idolatrous false religion that says that God became a man and died on a cross, which is all paganism. I'm talking about the Jewish Bible, the Tanakh, the Jewish Bible. In the Jewish Bible, if you read the prophets and read what they said, and read a true Jewish translation from the true Hebrew, because the Christian Bibles, even when they talk about what they call the Old Testament, they distort the translations. But if you read the Jewish translations and read it and study also the commentary on it, you see very clearly that all of this was foretold, and it's incredible how much prophecy has been fulfilled already. Unbelievable miracles, breathtaking miracles have taken place. The most incredible miracle is that the Jewish people even exists after all these thousands of years. The whole world, over and over again, so many empires trying to wipe the Jews out, so many self-hating Jews trying to wipe their own people out. And the Jews themselves, in most cases, not even wanting to survive, wanting to assimilate and mix in and disappear. And God doesn't allow that to happen. Miracles. So remember, in the end, the good guys are going to win. Justice and righteousness and truth will prevail in the end. And wonderful things, unbelievably wonderful, beautiful things will happen. And people will have eternal life in the next world. Eternal life. The next world, by the way, is in this world. And again, I don't want to go through the whole, I don't want to go through everything that, because we just don't have time to go through everything that will happen. But, and I don't know everything that will happen, of course. I'm just, whatever I do know is basically what the prophets and Chazal are the Talmudic rabbinic authorities and the rabbinic commentators. Whatever I've studied and seen from Chazal and from the prophets, from the Nevi'im. The good guys are going to win in the end, and then there'll be eternal justice and happiness and truth and righteousness. That will eventually come. That's something God has sworn to do in the end. And that's something we all want to see. I don't know if we're going to live to see it. It may not come in our generation, but we're getting closer and closer because the Jews have returned to Israel, and many things are happening that are fulfilling those prophecies. So our job, our role, is to tell the truth and to fight for justice and to be a light in the darkness, because this is going to be a generation of darkness, but we can be a light in the darkness, and we can pave the way for when the great awakening and the great return of the Jewish people to Torah truth, when that takes place. We've got to start paving the way now. That's what JTF is trying to do. That's what JTF stands for. And that's what we as Jews and righteous Gentiles are fighting for in this world and in this movement. Because if we fight together as a team, we can change history and we can make this a better world. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.